subtopic is who do you give your ma'aser to? What do you give your ma'aser to? So the first echelon of who to give ma'aser to, right? We said that again, it's first who people are closer to you, whatever. But now we're speaking not so much about who to give because of closeness, but who to give because of they're the people more worthy. Okay, the cause is more worthy. Not the person is more worthy. The cause is more worthy. The first cause of top priority is people who are amolei Torah. People who devote themselves totally to Torah learning, right, and are, what's it called, putting in toil and effort to learn and sacrificing for it. And you're not giving them for we'll see, for, what's it called, for luxuries. You're giving them to exist, to be able to continue learning Torah. Okay, because if they wouldn't have this, they would starve. They wouldn't be able to meet their basic needs. That's the first priority. V'chein, im krovav einam aniyim, u'mechalik la'acherim. Right, so therefore, even though you have to first give to your relatives, if they're poor, even before people who are strangers, who are amolei Torah, okay, because the closeness takes precedence over the cause. But once you don't have relatives that are poor, and you're giving anyway to people who are not relatives, now it kicks in. So who is, what's it called? What cause is greater? So now you should find people who are amolei Torah and give them your ma'aser. And we'll see, it doesn't have to be everything, but the priority of ma'aser is to those kind of people. Okay. And if you can't give everything to Bali Torah because you have other responsibilities too, then you should give a good percentage, just half or what's it called, or rove. Right? It could be that if you'll ask a shayla, right, and you have various responsibilities of people to give tzedakah to, right, then you figure out the proper proportions, but a considerable proportion should go to people who are molei Torah. Okay? Can included in that is somebody who, what's it called, is supported by his parents or by a stipend from the yeshiva, right, but he's just given his basic needs. Right, his parents take care of his basic needs, his yeshiva takes care of his basic needs, right? And they don't give him an amount of money to have, they feed him and they pay tuition or whatever. Then that person also is considered an ani. He has no money of his own, right? And you can support him too. Again, it may be just to give him, not to give him luxuries, but to give him so he can feel a little bit more comfortable, right? So he doesn't have to eat, you know, bread and water, but he can have something together with it that'll be a little bit more nourishing. What we're talking about now is a guy who's supported by his parents or by the yeshiva, but doesn't get his basic needs. In other words, they can't support him where he doesn't need an extra amount of money to survive, to have the basic needs. Then you can give that person. But if all of his needs are taken care of, his basic needs are taken care of by his parents or by the yeshiva, then he's not an ani, and he doesn't need it. So whatever you would be giving him would be giving him for luxuries, for things that are not necessities. There he's not. He is not worthy of getting your ma'aser. Okay. A person who has children or sons-in-law, right, who are not eating at his table, meaning they're not dependent on him, okay? And so they're like strangers, right? He's not supporting them, per se, right? And they are not able to earn their basic necessities, right, because they're devoting themselves to Torah, right? And the father or father-in-law wants to support them, okay? And he doesn't have the means to do it from his own money, right? And we'll see, even if he does, he can use ma'aser for them. Okay, since they're not his responsibility, he could easily say that I'm not responsible for them. They're adults, they're responsible for themselves. But they're close to me, and I want to give my money to Amalei Torah. So then your relatives, especially your children, right, come before anybody else. So therefore you can support, you can, from Meiser money, you can support sons-in-law, children who are learning Torah. That's where they're not legally dependent on you. We're not talking about little children. We're talking about older children who you have no legal responsibility to support. But children, it says, what's it called? Halachically, any child over six, you don't have a legal reason to support them in a Torah, except, what's it called, by custom, right? It's customary, and even almost legally, if you go to Rivacha, they'll force you, right, to feed your children up until the point that they can go out and work for themselves. I don't know what the age is, maybe 15, something like that, right? But up until that time, by custom, it's customary to support your children, and a person would be considered a scoundrel if he didn't. Then that's as if you have to, the rule is you can't use Meiser for something you're required to do. You can only use it for something that you are volunteering to do. But something you're required to do, a mitzvah you're required to do, a chiyuv of monetary obligation that you have, you cannot use Meiser for that. Meiser can only be used for something voluntary, not for something that you're responsible to do. If when you're not responsible to do something, for instance, you want to buy an os and a sefer Torah, you don't have to do that, right? If everybody in the shul, there was an edict that if you live here, you must buy an os and a sefer Torah, then you couldn't buy it from Meiser no matter what. But there is no such edict. If you want to do it, you do it. Not everybody does it, right? And when I obligate myself, I say I'm going to take that money from Meiser, then you're allowed to take it from Meiser. But if you obligated yourself first and then you said, hey, you know what, maybe I should take it from Meiser, now you're already obligated, now you can't take it from Meiser anymore. If you accepted it as an obligation from Meiser, you can do it to Meiser. If you accept it as an obligation and now you want to take care of your obligation with Meiser money, that you can't do. It's the same thing over here. If you are required to support these children, right, then whether by law or by halacha or by custom of the custom of the place where you live, right? And it could be in Biafra, the custom's different. People talk to send their kids out when they're six to go work, and they don't feed them. But in America, people feed their kids, you know, after they're six till about they're 60, right? So I don't know exactly what the cutoff date is. I'm still waiting for that to happen, right? But in any case, whenever it happens, I'll let you know. So at that point, you're not, well, you can what's it called? But the truth is not that at some point, like a 15, 16, right, they're pretty much on their own, or at least surely 18, surely when they get married, they're supposed to be on their own, and at that point you can use Meiser money.
So therefore, in the scenario where a parent commits to supporting the child.
Right, and so he didn't have in mind that he's doing for Meiser, he has Soros, because he can't use Meiser.
Right. So one time this is Nogea, that he says, no, I'm not supporting you.
Right.
And he changes his mind, I'll just do it anyway.
Or no, or in the beginning he says, I can't support you for my own money, or I don't want to support you for my own money, right, because I need my money also. I like to eat too, right, you know, it's a nice pastime, right, not just my children should eat, I should eat too. So, but I, what's it called, do have Meiser money, so I will agree to support you from Meiser money. That's fine. He didn't have to change his mind. He could do that from the outset. And that's 100% okay. But he's not obligated to do it for some other obligation.
Yeshiva and seminary after high school for girls, all of
yeah, those. Usually what I tell people is the following. I don't know if we're jumping ahead or whatever, but people come to me. The tuition's expensive. If you want to send the kid to a pnimiya, it's even more expensive. But it's almost like this. You are mechuyev pretty much to send your kid through high school, at least. Okay? So, but you could choose a minimal high school that's from, the kid will get, you know, the education that's mechuyev to get, but you want something better. Okay? And you want to give your kid, you know, something that's voluntary. So the minimum education that you could give a child high school wise, right, if you would go to a, I don't know, Mamlachti Dati school or something like that, where the tuition is not that great, I don't know what the tuitions are in those schools or whatever, but I imagine they're less, and you don't have, wouldn't have to go to a pinimia, okay? That much you can't take from Eisel, because that's the minimum that you're required to do. But anything beyond that, which is a lot, right, considering the tuitions and pinimiot and whatever and hasa'ot, that because I want to send to a better place, which is, that is not mandatory, that is voluntary. There you can take from Eisel. How to exactly make the cheshbon, not 100% sure, it depends on each case, but that's the guidelines pretty much.
Does that include everything, like just tuition, or?
No, it includes anything, any expense that they really need to be able to function. Because they don't have books and they don't have pens and they don't have clothes to wear. It's all part of that. Clothes we'll leave that for now. Right, now we're just about education. Clothing and things like that we'll get to.
No, but like seminary, I mean, they have all these tests cost 380 shekels, and the
books probably cost, probably those are things that you could avoid if you wanted to get a minimal acceptable education. So anything like that is can come from ISA.
How do you avoid that?
What?
If you, depends what you're doing. If you need some type of certification, you need the test.
Yeah, but you don't have to send your kid to school to get that certification. You could send it to another school where they'll learn to be a maid. Not to be a nuclear physicist, right? So they don't need certification to be a maid, right? They can, as long as they clean nice and do windows, they're, you know, they'll be okay.
Obligation but, to teach some type of pronunciation to a child does not mean something that's matin for that child.
Yeah, but anything could be person be matin, right? You can be a day laborer too, and that could be matin for somebody. I imagine that you can fetch around enough that you could be yotze with a minimal, right, even of giving a person a parnasa or giving them what's normally accepted in society without having to do it in deluxe way. But if you feel enough for your child that you want to give them that deluxe thing, that's voluntary. But if everybody does that, nobody does anything less, right, and you feel compelled by society, by the peer pressure, then it's already a twilight in you. Not so clear, one way or the other. I'd be more note, like I was saying, all these things, to be matter that too. Because the whole inyan of meiser is pashtus, the way we hold a hisnadvus. So any shaila, whatever, we usually go lekula.